You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and I'm delighted to be connecting with Sarah Griffin. Sarah coordinates the Rose of Tralee Centre here in Ottawa. And a very auspicious event has taken place in that the Rose of Tralee, Caitlin Gummins, arrived in Ottawa as part of a North American tour. And this is the first time that a Rose, while in the role of the Rose, has come to Ottawa. Sarah, welcome back. Great to have you here again. Must have been brilliant to be able to bring Caitlin into Ottawa.
Oh, it's great to be on again there, Austin. Yeah, honestly, started with our committee back in the fall as an idea, really. But like you say, it's been 10 years since the Rose of Tralee has been to Canada, and we were happy after chatting with Caitlin and Tralee that they were willing to throw us on the end of her trip over North America. So it's been a wild week, to say the least.
So from a centre's perspective and from a Canadian's perspective, how important is something like this in helping keep the profile elevated and also to highlight the calibre and the importance and the how wonderful this whole festival is?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, super important, I mean, in our opinion. And all of this really came out of, like I said, a brainchild on our committee. But what a lot of people don't realize is the current Rose of Tralee, so Caitlin, is an apprentice electrician. And we on our committee in Ottawa, Colleen Shirley, is an iron worker. So a couple of women in trades is kind of how all of this came about. And Caitlin's already bringing a lot of, attention to women in trades, but also women working in, you know, traditionally male dominated fields and the challenges and what they're kind of experiencing. So that's also a huge part of it. But from the perspective of, you know, what the Rose is in Canada, a lot of our role as Roses, and still now as the center coordinator for Ottawa, and same goes for the centers across Canada, is just really explaining what the Rose is. Because Irish people, they know right away, you know, they see it on TV every August, but for Canadians, it's something new. So really kind of diving into what it is, and it's ultimately a great opportunity for women. So
now we're privileged that we're going to be able to share an interview with Caitlin shortly, but in that she will be able to explain to us and talk to us about as well how she achieved Dancing with the Stars, and we'll be hearing about that. But a phenomenal achievement, because Caitlin's only, she's 21, so not only is she an apprentice electrician, she's an accomplished dancer.
Absolutely, and really just an overall wonderful woman. It was her first time in Canada on this trip. And really, we planned out with the help of the other three Canadian Rose centers. So it was obviously ourselves in Ottawa, but you've got Toronto, Newfoundland, and Western Canada, who all came to Toronto for the panel. Newfoundland actually moderated the Women in Trades panel. And obviously, Caitlin was on it alongside some pretty fierce women from the area. And then from Toronto, you know, we had the opportunity to go over to the Niagara Power Station. We were given a lovely tour there, just from the perspective of a former worker, and got to bring Caitlin up behind the falls, which I know was a big bucket list thing for her, followed by attending the Toronto Irish Film Festival, and then making our way ultimately here to Ottawa. Lots of community involvement. Caitlin was even out on the Ottawa Gales pitch there on Sunday morning because she's a Camogie girl herself. And then we were lucky enough to head to Parliament Hill on Monday and see the Centre Block Rehabilitation Project, which is just phenomenal. And then MP Mona Fortier brought us into the chamber. It was really kind of nice to see another kind of, you know, trailblazer. I mean, there are women in politics, but it's an uphill battle. And so having that time between the MP and, you know, Caitlin and the other Roses, and her taking the time to ask them kind of what their goals were and aspirations, was just unreal. And then on the night, on Monday night, the ambassador was kind enough to host Caitlin and a bunch of the community there at the embassy. So it's been a whirlwind, but just overall, so much positive feedback and, you know, more exposure about you know, what the Rose is, what this opportunity is, and what's available to young women here in Canada with Irish descent.
And Sarah, that's only one half of the story, because the other half of the story is then, from an Irish perspective, the awareness of the difference between Canada and the US. And I know that Aidan or Rose, they're from Ottawa, occasionally would be asked, well, what state are you from? And the understanding that exists, that how different Canada is.
And I definitely think Caitlin experienced that. She, before she came to us in Canada, she was down in Texas, and it was about, I don't know, 20 or 30 degrees, and she landed in Toronto, and it was about a degree. So she definitely experienced that. But I know it's definitely, we're our own entity, and getting to know that, I know it was very special to her. And it was, of course, special to us to be able to share what that Canadian identity is, and for her to experience it, and also the Canadian Irish identity, which is its own thing as well. So
now the Ottawa Rose is, Aidan Russell is currently the incumbent, and she will be our Rose until 2027, because it's on a 2-year cycle now for a lot of the centres. But for anyone who is anxious to learn more, there are a variety of social media and other places that they can get information if you want to give us coordinates.
Yeah, for sure. For Ottawa, you can reach us at roseoftralee.ca or at Ottawa Rose of Tralee. We're on Instagram and Facebook. And same goes for the other centres. While we're not hosting a selection this year, Toronto and Newfoundland are, I believe, in May. So you can find their details on their social media as well. And then Western Canada will run a selection in 2027, just as Ottawa will.
Fantastic. Sarah, thanks so much for taking the time. Great catching up with you. And as I said, we'll be hearing from Caitlin and also Kira, who was in from Calgary, and Aidan. And we're going to share that interview with the audience now. And thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Austin.
You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and I'm delighted, first of all, to welcome Caitlin Cummins from outside Port Leash to Ottawa. And Caitlin is the current Rose of Tralee. Welcome, Caitlin. Tafalcha Roth.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm really delighted to be here.
And we have to put this in context, because you're also Dancing with the Stars champion. And we're going to talk about these things. But also with me here, I have Kira Confrey from Calgary.
Hi, how are you?
Delighted to have you in Ottawa also.
Thanks.
And Aidan, it's great to connect with you again. Aidan Russell, our Ottawa Rose.
Happy
doing a fantastic
here.
Job. Caitlin, you have had a hectic 7.5 months.
Yes, very, very, very busy. Yeah, just been on the go, really, since
so me. I know on the night when you were announced as the Rose, that in itself is something that will stay with you for the rest of your life.
It is indeed. You know, the night itself is a little bit of a blur, you know, because it was just so busy from the start of tour right up until the end of Tralee, that it was just so busy. And then the night itself, when it all ended, you know, you're kind of just reminiscing that the fact that the whole thing was over. So I don't actually remember much from the night I was selected, only the fact that, you know, the feelings of going onto stage before the announcement was that this is all over, you know, this is the end of the tour, this is the end of getting to know everybody else. But yeah, it was an amazing few celebrations after, so it was, you know, reconnecting with everybody again after. So yeah, it was amazing.
For everyone else, they went back to their regular life, or somewhat regular life, back to work. You didn't. You're literally on a hiatus that has taken you around the world, and you're arriving in Ottawa after a North American trip. You've been at a few Patrick's Day parades.
I did. The day after the Dance with the Stars finale, I flew to New York and I took part in the St. Patrick's Day parade on Fifth Avenue with all my 2025 class, the Roses and Escorts, and it was amazing to be able to meet up with everybody again. And then after that, we headed up to Dallas in Texas, and I took part in the Texas Rose selection. We have our 2026 Texas Rose selected now for this year, who will be going down to Tralee, which is amazing to be able to witness the international selections as well, you know, because we don't actually get to experience them as a Rose from Ireland or anything like that. So it was great to see those. They're very, very different, you know, the way they're all done. But yeah, then I headed up to Nashville for a few days with some of the Rose escorts, and then made my way to Toronto then, and met up with the Toronto Rose, Western Canada Rose, Kieran, Aidan, Ottawa Rose, you know, meeting people along the way everywhere I go. So yeah, it's been amazing.
And before being, you're the first Laois, Rose.
Yes.
The first Laois Rose to get to the stage, or the first Laois, and the first Laois Rose to win or to get to be selected?
No, we've had a good few Laois Roses past right. 3 years, but I'm the first Laois Rose to win.
To be selected. And what got you interested and hooked into the Rose?
I suppose I've always watched it growing up. You know, I think it's such a staple in every Irish household growing up that you watch the Rose of Tralee. And I had always watched it with my family in our kitchen. And then last December, my dad saw the applications were open for the Laois Rose and they were meeting up for the first time. And he said to me, why don't you head in? And I said, oh, I don't know, it's such a busy time in my life. I'm in the middle of my apprenticeship and everything. And he said, sure, there's no harm in going in and seeing what they say and what it's all about and what's involved in doing it. So I ended up with my mum and Lynn Maloney, the coordinator over the Laois Rose Centre. She had me and my mum convinced within 5 minutes it would be regrettable not to go for it. And it was also the fact that, you know, I got to meet other girls from Laois as well, you know, and I can safely say I've made best friends through it now as well. You know, they came down to Tralee to support me as well, and I stay in touch with them all the time. So that was a huge factor in getting involved as well, that I was making more girlfriends and kind of just fulfilling like a little girl's dream of wanting to be a Rose.
And given that prior to the current system, there used to be an earlier session in Port Laois, were you aware of that, and had you been ever out there as a Rosebud?
No, I actually wasn't. No, we were never really involved as such as knowing what went into the festival before I got involved. So finding out that there was regionals on in Port Laois for a number of years before I got involved was really interesting, and hearing everybody's different perspectives on how that worked. But yeah, no, I didn't know when I was growing up that that went on, so I didn't.
Right. You mentioned your apprenticeship, your apprentice electrician. What got you into that?
I did work experience in TY, and I didn't want to go to college. I wasn't really an academic student, and I grew up on a dairy farm. My dad's a dairy farmer, and so I used to work with my hands, and he said, why don't you go and work in the trades? And I did work experience for a week with a local electrician, loved it, and that kind of set me then. And you know, after my leaving cert, I just applied for a lot of jobs, a lot of apprentices, and I somehow got one, and here I am.
So for an apprentice to get to the point from where you start off as your apprentice to where you would be a qualified electrician, what is the path you're going to have to go through, and how long does it take you?
It's a 4-year course in Ireland, so it's 4 years of with 7 phases. So we do 3 phases in college and then 4 on the job. So I have one of my college phases done so far, which was 5.5 months, which I completed in Tullamore. And I'll be going back to do a 12-week course in college, and then I'll go back to work for 6 months, and then I'll do another 10 weeks in college. So overall, out of the 4 years, you spend 1 year in an education training centre or in a college, but it's so diversely spread out over the 4 years that you don't actually feel like you're in a college as such. So it works really well for, you know, people who aren't academically smart, because we get to have loads of time to learn with our hands and all that, and then go into an education based setting. So it works really well.
In a lot of professions, there are specialties. Would that be the case in electricians?
Oh, definitely would. You know, there's industrial, there's commercial, and there's domestic as well. You know, there's so many different settings of which an electrician could work in. The work that I do is industrial. We do a lot of control panels that go into factories and into water treatment centres. We do panels for airports. So many different diverse type of companies, so it's very neat technical work, and it's very unique as well to the industry, because we are one of the only companies in the world that does them. So it's very good to see like the level of difficulty that is being done within our jobs, and it's very rewarding. So it is.
There's a lot of talk in Ireland at the moment about the use or the amount of use of electricity by data centres. Would your area bring you into that area also?
In some factors, yes. Some of our panels do go into data centres, you know, to help control them. We wouldn't work necessarily with data centres directly, but we do an awful lot of contracting work for them. So the work that we do kind of, you know, would control the entire building and each data centre, but we don't work directly with them.
Right. How did you get into Dancing with the Stars?
I think it kind of stems from me doing a jibe on stage as part of my party piece down in the Rose of Tralee. And I just got a call from my manager at the festival, Rose of Tralee, Steve, who said, I'm after getting a call from RTE. And I was like, oh, am I going on the Late Late Show? And he was like, no, it's even better. You want to Dance with the Stars. Do you want to go on it? And I said, of course I do. You know, I promised myself back in August I'd say yes to everything I could. And yeah, I moved to Dublin the end of November, first time moving away from home, and yeah, just had the experience of a lifetime, you know.
When I was growing up, jiving was a big thing and the dance halls were a big thing. Then it went away, but now it's back, huge.
Yeah, back with a bang, yeah.
Very much so, and I see, like, it's not just one-on-one dancing, but you get one and two, with, like, yeah, all sorts of permutations, combinations, and huge crowds out. And it would appear as if there are locations, like Banlastow seems to have to be a big centre for it.
Yeah, and Donegal Town as Wexford and Carlow, they're all massively into it, so they are.
Right.
It's great to see it coming back. You know, country music is absolutely massive in Ireland now, so it is. It's really have to come back with a bang, you know, and everybody loves it. There's no age limit, there's no starting age to go out. Like, everybody seems to be in it. There's kids from 4 to 5 learning how to jive to adults. Like, it is great.
Yeah. Your dancing is particularly special because I know you have a hearing difficulty. There's not a lot of people out there who don't have a hearing difficulty would be challenged when it comes to dancing and staying in time and not stepping on each other's toes. How do you cope?
I suppose I never really found it to be any different to a normal person until we had to learn how to work in sync, myself and Leonardo, and how to work on different timings. That, like, most dances are to a count of 8, but for other couples, and we found this out, like, when we were doing the team dances on week 6, that other couples were going with lyrics to different songs, and, like, they were trying to teach me to, you know, move on the word, whatever it was, and I was going, oh, I can't hear that word. And then me and Leonardo, we were kind of sat down the next day, and we were kind of like, we don't teach each other the same way that everybody else is teaching. We're actually going off a facial expression that he makes, or he squeezes his hand, or he squeezes my hand, and, like, there was different things like that that actually got me to move and to stay in tune with the music, which we just kind of adapted to ourselves. Like, we didn't actually realise, I think, from the start, when I knew I couldn't understand the lyrics, he kind of just knew as well without actually ever talking about it. I don't really know how we got into it, but it just seemed to work for us to do things with cues secretly without having to do with words, because I don't really understand words the same way everybody else does.
And are you able to hear the melody in this, or is that
I can
muffled?
Hear, like, the beat,
okay,
and, like, the tune of the music, but I wouldn't be able to understand lyrics necessarily.
Right.
It just kind of
right.
sounds, like, distorted and muffled.
Right, but you're getting
because I rely
the,
on lip
getting,
reading.
Okay.
I rely on lip reading an awful lot, and if
right.
someone's face isn't facing me, there's a high chance I'm not going to be able to understand what you're saying.
So in a move then where you had to go apart and come back together, you would have been very heavily dependent on facial expressions,
yes,
or something at that
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
yeah.
And there was a part in our Charleston in the semi-final where I had to move away from him and he was to my back. And I had to stay doing moves while he was behind me, but I had to do it to the count of 8. And then I had to count to 4 after. And it was every time we'd do it, like, you'd have to stay in character, and I'd be going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I would lose my facial. And that week was very challenging with the two of the choreographers who helped out with the show. They were like, you need to keep your face working during that part that you're on your own. And I was like, I'm so focused on trying to do the timing at the same time. And it was quite a challenging week, because that was when we discovered that it really did have an impact, him being away from me and not being near my eye line.
Right.
We worked around it as best as we could, and it did.
As an experience, given that as the weeks went on and various couples were dropping off, were you surprised that you were going forward at the and that it wasn't, you weren't having a challenge as such?
I wouldn't say I wasn't having a challenge, because every week came with a new challenge, and it was a different challenge every week. Every week was a new character, a new personality, kind of like for each different dance. One week I was sassy, one week I was goofy, another week I was emotional, you know, and that was the challenge for me every week, where the steps kind of didn't come, they weren't too difficult for me, you know, the learning to choreography was okay, but getting into character and getting a new personality every week was the toughest part for me. And I struggled an awful lot every Monday, Tuesday, at the start of every new week. And even anybody who's involved in the show can attest to that, because I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. This is not going to work every week. And somehow every Sunday, it all just kind of comes together at 6:30 when the live show starts, which is kind of the beauty of it all, I suppose.
The other participants, being aware that you wouldn't have had full hearing, must have, I'm sure, were very supportive. And since it was announced that you won, have you had much reaction from people who are challenged in how they can hear, reaching out to you?
I definitely have, you know, and it's been the same kind of since Tralee as well. You know, I never broadcasted it in Tralee about my hearing disability, but some people, like, when you do have a hearing impairment, you can notice other people. Not that other people wouldn't, but I'd see it myself if somebody else was wearing a hearing aid, and I'd go, oh, they're wearing a hearing aid. So other people like that have texted me being like, I'm so proud of you for going up there and not talking about it, and it was just a normal thing for you. And that's been really, really nice seeing that side of it. But then there was also the side of people wanting to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of why I talked about it during the South. People wanted to know more about it and how I have such great speeches, because I did speech and language therapy when I was a kid. And people, other families who have kids now that have developed hearing losses, maybe from birth or maybe being the only ones in their families to have it, they've wanted to learn more about it. And I'm glad that I can be an advocate for some families who have never been through it before, to be able to help them as well and give them a perspective on the way I've been taught.
For something like that in the Irish health system, would you be very dependent on your parents' means in order to be able to get help? Or is the state adequately supportive, or is it supportive?
My mum grew up with a hearing disability as well, so she was the one that myself and my sister looked up to, you know, to ask for help and what to do with different things, and she knew how the system worked. So she was the one who got us into speech and language therapy as kids, and she was the one who wanted to send us to mainstream school so that we lived a normal life as well as the rest of the public. You know, we got perfect speech, the two of us. So my mum was a massive factor in that, you know, growing up, and she got us the help with the Irish health system, who have been amazing, you know, for us growing up. They've got us the best hearing aids that they could, you know. They've got us a great system in school where we had microphones with teachers and things like that. So they've been amazing.
School can be a tough place. And none of us, when we're teenagers, have sensitivities that we can be brutal to others. Did you find at any stage that you were being bullied or singled out by some of the other girls or put down?
I wouldn't say it wouldn't have been by girls.
Okay.
It would have been more by lads growing up.
Because it was quiet.
Yeah, it was some things that some kids couldn't understand. You know,
right.
Why was somebody different to us, or how was she in a mainstream school? But I never really spoke to them about it. You know, like, I kind of just learned myself, you know, those people don't want to be associated with me, that's okay.
Right.
That's completely fine. And I just learned to adapt to that growing up. And then once you hit, like, the age I'm at now, like, they talk to me now, and they're like, I didn't realise, you know, that, like, it was so cool, like, you know, this, that, and the other thing. We just didn't understand when we were younger.
Yeah.
It's a maturity thing, which
yes.
is so understandable, you know. It is a very hard thing to understand at that age, and why is someone different? But, it is what it is, you know, and people have learned from it, and we've all kind of grown up. So
and it's certainly contributed greatly to you being who you are today, I think. So while you're on this trip, you're here in Ottawa, what have you lined up ahead, or what are the plans for the rest of the year?
For the rest of the year, I suppose there's all the county selections in Ireland, and we have a few international selections coming up as well.
Right.
So I'll be heading to them every weekend, but there's different events in Ireland as well, you know, different conferences and things like that, school visits, meeting a lot of people around Ireland, you know, a lot of school visits, so there are a lot of talking to students about different career paths, and then there's meeting different businesses who are involved in the trade as well, you know. And but the best thing about it is the selection. They're the ones I most look forward to now coming forward up in the next few months, because you're getting to see all the girls who get to have your experience again going down to Tralee, and you get to meet them all, and the girls who have the same dreams you did when you were going forward for your selection. And it's I'm really looking forward to those. But I'm heading to London for the London selection in May, and I'm also heading to New York in June for the New York Rose selection.
Right.
So those are probably the two most exciting coming up.
Right. We're here joined by Western Canada and Ottawa, and delighted that we have Kira, as I said, welcome. Calgary.
Yeah.
Very different than growing up in Ireland and being very much immersed in the Rosatree culture. What was your experience?
Yeah, well, I was born in Dublin and I lived in Kildare for about 16 years.
Right.
And then moved over to Calgary. I've spent the last 11 years in Calgary. And, you know, growing up, like, the Rosatree is the Rosatree. Everyone sits down, watches it, like, you just see all these women who have so much experience and they're wearing all these, like, gorgeous clothes, and it's just like, it's such a massive thing over there that everyone knows what it is. And over here it's a little bit different. Not many people know where it takes place or what it is or what it's actually about. A lot of people still have that kind of misconception that it's like a beauty pageant, and it's not so much anymore. But yeah, it was definitely a little different coming from an international perspective into it.
And when you say the perspective, one of the things that I notice is every year in August, you can go to the Irish newspapers and you're going to find comments that are totally berating of the roads. You've seen those.
A handful of them.
The attitude to the rose in Ireland, while it's a powerful, wonderful spectacle and is a tremendous festival, the attitude abroad, I think, is very different in a very positive way.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get the same negativity.
No, you definitely don't get the same negativity. I mean, living abroad, and I've been here for so long that it's like, it's a very, very different mentality that people are in. And it's not that Ireland's not open, but when you go to like the likes of the US or Canada, or I am anywhere kind of that far out, people are just very different and they're very accepting of who you are, where you're from, and like the amount of people that are like, oh my God, you're Irish, like that's fantastic kind of deal. It is a very different mentality. But yeah, there was definitely some comments on on the Irish side that weren't the nicest. We definitely try to steer away from them. Like, we really don't. We try not to read them. But yeah, I mean, over in Calgary anyways, there's the few businesses that know about it. And I mean, Western Canada is the largest geographical area in the actual festival. So now we're working on kind of like spreading that awareness about the Rosatree and what it actually is. And it was one of the reasons why it was so great that Caitlin could come over and meet all these people and show people what it's all about.
Back to you, Caitlin, briefly. Do you get inter-county rivalry? are you getting inter-county rivalry?
little bit. No, definitely not. No.
Like, Offaly must be keeping a close eye on you.
Offaly, yeah. Me and Nicole are close enough, so we're good.
But in advance of, you know, the you're not getting the same rivalry as you get in the GAA.
No, definitely not. You know, I'm a Kilkenny woman, born a Kilkenny woman, so yeah, taking on Leaf for the Rosatree was a bit different, you know, but
right.
Kilkenny tried to claim me back, so
I'm sure they did.
It was funny enough.
I'm sure they did. Aidan, your experience, again, very different, because every one has a different experience. And when you went over, while Kira was born in Dublin, Kildare upbringing, you're Canadian through and through. So how you view things and through your lens would be different also.
I think it is definitely different, especially as the sash saying Ottawa rather than like Western Canada. There's a lot of places that I was asked what state Ottawa was in. So it is a very different experience in Tralee, but I think the root of it still being like, you might not get it quite as much watching it in your kitchens growing up. And we've spoken about this before. I didn't even really know what it was until just before applying. But I think the root of it being a part of something that uplifts and celebrates Irish women across generations and walks of life, and whether they're at home or abroad, like, I think that still rings very true. And even being there, whether you grew up with it or not, like, you still see it and you're still very steeped in it once you're there.
It must be a great honour for you to have the Rose of Tralee in Canada and to be able to host
It is. I think this is the first time in, what were they saying, 10 years?
So over 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, that a Rose of Tralee, like an international Rose of Tralee has come to Canada. So it is very exciting, and I think it's great for Canadian centres, because, and nothing against any other centres, but I do think that it's a bit harder for international centres sometimes to like sort of bring that awareness and maybe have the same kind of hype around the festival as some of the counties might. So it is, it's nice to...
Yeah, the inter-country rivalry isn't...
yeah, Western Canada and Ottawa are really just...
And Newfoundland and Labrador are far enough apart that there's no one kind of hitting anybody.
No.
So then when it comes to the events that have been organised over the period you were here, Caitlin, you were in Toronto with the Toronto Centre, and I know there's you're going to have the opportunity to be hosted here by the ambassador and to meet some of the local people also, but generally as you travel around, it's mainly Irish clubs, Irish centres that host you.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like Toronto, we got to go to, you know, Niagara Falls.
Yes.
And visit that with all the Canadian centres. We all went Newfoundland and Labrador Rose. Tammy Snopes is with us as well, you know, so she flew up from Newfoundland, which was amazing, you know, to have her with us as well. And then this morning, just before coming here, I was at the Ottawa Gales football training this morning. So was really nice to see some of the Canadians who are trying to immerse themselves, you know, into the Irish kind of...
Yeah.
Football side of things, you know, in the GAA, which was really nice to see, and they gifted me a jersey as well, you know, so I'll always remember that I visited here. But when I heard that there was a GAA club here, you know, I really wanted to see what it was like, and I heard there's only two or three girls on the team who are Irish as such, or maybe moved here from Ireland, but to see the Canadian people, you know, putting themselves into that, you know, it's amazing, it really is to see. And yeah, we have a few different things coming up over the next few days. Now tomorrow is my last day with Rose Duties. Tomorrow morning we are going to the Parliament with a girl who works on the Ottawa Rose Centre team, who is an iron maker, iron worker.
Yeah.
And we're going down to see her site that she works on, and then we'll be visiting the ambassador as well for dinner. So there's a few things coming up which are really nice.
Do you play sport?
I play camogie at home. Yes, I do. So it was really nice to see the GAA and what they do over here. And they were only football training this morning, but they're learning how to play camogie as well.
Yes.
And one of the girls who is from Care and Tip, she had her hurls with her, and she said, "I haven't played hurling with somebody who's able to play in like 4 years. Do you want to like puck around?" And we pucked around for like 10 minutes just chatting away, and she was so happy to be playing. I haven't held a hurl since October, so it was really nice to do that as well, you know, a real sense of home in home away from home.
I presume you will be in Waterford for the global GAA Global.
I will definitely try and make my way down. Yeah, I heard that there's a few girls heading over, so I will try and make my way down to it as well.
Yeah, you'll get to probably meet from all over the world various representatives from various centres. The plans for 2027, you've already, you say, you were at the Texas selection. Are dates set in Ottawa yet, or dates set out in Western Canada? What's every second year, of course, now?
Yeah. So for a lot of the international centres, some of the centres in Ireland as well, they do it every 2 years instead of one. So there's so many, many different centres around the world.
Yeah.
Mine is set for May of 2027.
Right.
So we still have another year on duty, which is really nice that you have the two instead of the one. But yeah, what about you, Aidan?
Yeah, ours is, I don't know that we've actually picked the date yet, but it is 2027.
Yeah. So again, you girls get to be roses for 2 years.
Yeah, we do.
You only get 1 year.
Caitlin.
Caitlin, 2 years as well.
Leash is 2 years.
But you revert back to being.
Yeah, so I'll hand over the Rose of Tralee in August, and I'll go back on leash.
Right.
And then for about 6 or 7 months, my handover will probably be March or April 2027.
Right. Traditionally, a lot of the roses have travelled on charity events, or gone to locations, be it Chernobyl or other countries. Have you any of those?
No, so unfortunately I was on the show Dance with the Stars when the Poland Chernobyl trip took place.
Okay.
Which was in February 21st it was, that weekend. And they headed off on February 19th and they were back on February 23rd. I was on the show at the time and I couldn't miss a show to do a Rose of Tralee trip. It was either one or the other.
Right.
So we just made the decision ourselves and the team at Tralee as well that I would do the show and take part in the... take part in whatever other trips I could. So we made it, you know, a statement that I was going to make it to New York straight after the show. But the rest of my class all went to Boston before, and they took part in the Boston parade. But I said I would have to stay for the final. But I still got to make it to New York, which I was really, really happy about. But yeah, unfortunately, couldn't make it to Poland.
Yeah.
But I think four roses went out and one rose escort went out.
Yeah.
And they, not to say that they had a great time over there, but it was an eye-opening trip. And they're definitely relieved of, you know, being able to give that aid back to people who need it most.
Have you been in touch with your rosebud?
My rosebud, yeah, Faye. I meet Faye every time I go down to Tralee. She's from Tralee, so I meet her every time we go down. Her and her family, and her mum Emily Lynch as well. You know, they're everywhere I go down in Tralee, so they're absolutely amazing. They're very, very supportive, and I'm actually visiting my rosebuddy school when I go back. I think it's about 2 weeks after I get home. I'm going down to his school down in Tipperary. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Do you see your rosebud?
I send letters back and forth with mine quite a bit. She's lovely. But no, I was going to say, there is also the Camino coming up in June.
All right.
That one's still going on.
We have the Camino in June in Spain.
Yes.
Which we do the hiking for over, it's like 25 kilometres a day for 5 days, so they do 100 kilometres.
Which route are you doing, do you know?
I have no idea what route.
Right.
And I don't think it's been announced yet.
I don't think it's been announced what route we're doing.
I know we did the Portuguese from the Spanish border up to Santiago de Compostela. It was about 130 kilometres.
Most of it is pre-organised before we even get to go on the trip. So we kind of show up with whatever we need and they just tell us where
boots.
We're going. And the rest of it, But
bring your boots and your sunscreen.
And socks that... wool socks, isn't it?
Yes, I do not wear easily.
Those cold blisters. Indeed.
So that's taking place on the 4th of June.
Right.
I think they're heading out. So they are, which is going to be a great trip for all involved.
I've taken enough of your time. I really appreciate it. And it's been a real pleasure and honour, Aidan. Kira and Caitlin. And thank you so much indeed. And I look forward to, we'll be connecting again before you head back socially. And look forward to tomorrow night and seeing you at the event. And as I said, thank you very much indeed and congratulations. And particularly also on Dancing with the Stars. And I will finish up by saying that I do intend grabbing what Brian Redman said. As you say, Brian can be quite appear quite hard, but behind it all there's a big heart, and I let Brian speak for himself.
Yeah, I think he is in himself, you know, and I was on the radio with him twice before I went on the show. He's a teddy bear at heart, and he just puts on this tough exterior on the show, you know, but it was nice to know him before going on the show, because I think he would have scared me off while on the show, because he does put out, you know, he gives constructive criticism every week, but you know, it is a bit terrifying to hear it, but it was nice to know him before I went on, because I don't think I would have taken it as well otherwise.
Thanks, keep bringing, guys.
Thank you very much.
The thing I love about you most is you're true to yourself. You are the Rose of Tralee, you're an apprentice electrician, you're a fabulous dancer. And that's what I like about you. You've remained true to yourself from day one of this competition. And to finish up, the only thing I can think of is that I have an 11-year-old daughter at home watching the show tonight. And if she turns out to be like you as a young woman, I'll be really proud.